afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, December 6th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, we're still holding at 1170 for gold today, down 90 cents. 1170. Down 90 cents. You know, you're looking at something $1,170. How does it only move 90 cents? You know, that kind of cracks me up. It's all part of the manipulation, folks. 1166 for the low today, and had a high of 1175, holding at 1170. Silver was down 3 pennies today at $16.78. Platinum was down $1, $939. Palladium was down 9 at $700.39. The USDX today, it was down earlier. Well, it's up 0.36 at 100.51. Crude oil was down 1.06 at 50.73. And the paper markets today, once again, they moved to an all-time high, all-time records. And let me pull them up here. Again, it's the emerging markets. They rose. Speculation that the European Central Bank will continue to extend its monthly bond purchases to try to stoke the growth in the region. And there really wasn't. The Dow was up 35 points at 19,251. The NASDAQ was 24 points higher at 53.33. The S&P was up 7 at 22.12. 10-year yield, 2.40%, up 0.01. And the euro, a little pressure on the euro, 0.39 at 1.07. So, it's kind of a strange day in the markets. It was a quiet day in the markets. You know, it's just the same, you know, this Trump rally. Everyone knows it's not going to last. Everyone knows it's not based on anything. It's just based on, oh, you know, a lot of money's going to get spent here.
Yeah, it was just
years.
A celebration of maybe being rid of Hillary. I didn't care about Trump, but God, we're maybe done with Hillary. Maybe.
Well, I'm not quite sure that was it, but... maybe in some circles, but and again, this rally is just based. And I mean, we talk about this rally just since the election, but the stock market even prior to the election, what was it based on? It wasn't based on anything but a bunch of multinational corporations buying back their shares, going into their debt to buy back their own shares, borrowing to buy back their own shares to keep their shares higher. There was no rhyme or reason for any of, for the large part of these shares to be higher to the degree that they have been. So, I mean, we've been looking at a rigged paper market for a very, very long time.
I've got an article here from oilprice.com, and part of the reason the article is interesting is because it is from a publication called Oil Price. And they should be focusing on crude oil, and I'm sure they do, but this article is about gold. And the headline is Trump, speaking about the Trump rally for stocks and whatever, it says, Trump sets the stage for a huge gold rally in 2017. And they make a couple of good points here. And global political tensions have not been this palpable since 9/11, when the gold prices jumped 33% in a single day. The amount of uncertainty being ushered in for 2017 promises to be great for them, for gold, our age-old hedge against chaos and instability. Combine this with the fact that unpredictable and inflation-bent Trump is preparing to take office in the United States. British Prime Minister is set to trigger a hard Brexit. China's economic problems are mounting, and most of the world is explosively tense, and you have a situation in which gold is set for a premium. Gold is the ultimate safe haven and ultimate means of payment when all else fails or when the uncertainty is high enough to fear this failure. Again, this is pretty interesting text coming from oilprice.com. It should be telling us how great crude oil is. They're talking, gold is really cool. It goes on, it says, Americans are buying gold like never before. U.S. demand for gold bars and coins was up a massive 207% in the third quarter of 2016. According to the World Gold Council, this surging demand signals a level of interest in gold investment not seen since the global financial crisis, and they're talking about 2007, 2008, 2009. Central banks of the world have also been stockpiling gold since 2008 at levels not seen since before 1970. And then they get down to Trump should be good for gold for two very specific ways. First, inflation. Gold loves it. More to the point, Trump's build infrastructure plans and ambitious defense spending visions are phenomenally inflationary. But it's also possible that these policies will not lead to any long-term sustainable gold growth, which would in turn lead to stagflation, which is an even better friend to gold. Now, that's not something I understand. They make the statement, they don't offer any support for it. They argue that stagflation is maybe the best environment of all for gold. We'll watch. That's something I don't know about, and I have some certain amount of doubt if that's true or false. I just don't know. But the second point is geopolitics. Gold prices feed on risk, and there will be plenty of it. Even just a change in government creates geopolitical uncertainty, but in this case, the situation is more extreme. Trump has indicated that he will take an aggressive stance on issues central to West Asia. And in general, we're looking at a world in which U.S. may meddle less and cooperate much less. The power vacuums that result are where the uncertainty lies. And this is a good point. Trump has taken the position of America first. And that means there's going to be some conflict. All right? It doesn't mean it's going to be war, but there's going to be if we can't do well, we're going to get out of it. We're going to abandon some countries where we have military stations, and it will open those countries up to perhaps political instability. We're not going to cooperate with people unless things are at least as good for us as they are for them. Again, this is the power vacuums will result and cause uncertainty from the victory of the very divisive U.S. president and the rise of right-wing parties in Europe. To Brexit, China's economic challenges, and Russia's warmongering, this is the uncertainty that gold loves. Gold is always on a premium pedestal in times of geopolitical uncertainty, even when it's not chaos. Well, it's good to hear after the last month or 6 weeks of falling gold prices. It's good to hear that there is reason to believe that the price of gold is going to increase significantly in 2017, and it's good reason. Right? They're right. We are going to see more.
Well, it's good to
see. Barring the unforeseen, I can't imagine that that 2017 is going to be less volatile than 2016. And once this starts to kick off again, I'm going to guess and speculate and agree with the people who wrote this article that price gold is going to go up, up, and up.
Well, it's nice to see articles that confirm what we've been saying. And, you know, that we do buy gold for all of these reasons. That we will see inflation. We know that. I mean, geopoliticals, absolutely. I mean, these are all the reasons why you buy gold. They've always been there. They haven't changed. We probably don't talk about the various differences of each as often, perhaps, as we should. But certainly... absolutely. Gold is going to be exploding and very, very soon. I mean, you can't go into 2017 once Trump gets elected and not believe that we're going to have, that this is just going to go along as smooth and as easy and as positive as many believe. And
it's going to be like the Democratic political campaign this last year. It'll be chaotic.
Very much so. We're gonna have a lot of volatility next year, and I'm not even sure if volatility is the proper word to be using. It's gonna be chaotic. It's gonna be very chaotic next year, and so take advantage. And if you have some paper investments that are doing you well today, Well, you know, it might be a good time to think about pulling out some of that profit and getting your investments protected with gold.
What's the secret of success, Melody, in investments? Buy low and sell high.
Mm-hmm.
Gold is low. You got some stocks that are high, and maybe now is the time to sell those high stocks and move them into gold, into low gold.
And people are beginning to understand this, and they're beginning to see how, you know, even after the election, everybody thought it would kind of die down a little bit as far as, you know, the things that we've been, that was handed to us for the past 2 years, basically. And it's going to continue, and things haven't changed. And people are beginning to understand this and realize this. People are beginning to get scared of what's going to happen next year and the year after, but the beginning 2017. And so we
I think if there's cause for concern right now, it's not just a question of what's going to happen, it's a question of what's not going to happen. And what's not going to happen is that it does not appear that we're going to see a real economic recovery anytime soon. Right? Whether we're going to stumble into difficult times, I don't know.
No one knows
for an absolute fact, but does anyone really believe that things are going to pick up significantly for the whole country? Portions of the economy will do well. A lot of people will not.
This is as good as it gets, folks. And I believe this is as good as it gets. We've, you know, even though we've talked about how there's many pockets in this economy, in this country, where, you know, people haven't been able to get ahead. I mean, things are changing. Americans have had good days. We've had bad, you know, periods of times across those years. But I think we're going to face some things that, you know, we talk about all the time, but things never happen. Things that you hear other people talking about, well, they don't seem to happen. I think in 2017, a lot of these things are going to happen. And I don't believe the economy is going to get better. I mean, regulations, yeah, take regulations off. Absolutely. Help businesses. But, you know, small businesses, it's not the regulations that really affect them. It's the big businesses. It's the banks. It's Wall Streets. They're the ones who want all these regulations off so they can go back and do what they did prior to 2008.
Rob the public.
They want to, yeah. They're just panting for these regulations to come off. And I get that, you know, we think of regulations to help the smaller business, the mom and pop shops, to, you know, help them, you know, employ people and so forth. And I might help them to some degree, but the ones that are really going to help, you know, it's not going to be good. Maybe that you take those regulations off and you have these big companies, you know, maybe they can generate a little bit of economic growth to some degree. But how long is that going to last? It won't last very long.
Oh, we talk about regulations. I think we've talked about this on the program in the past. But there are people that are capable of doing good work who are capable of being self-employed, but they can't manage a business because they can't handle the paperwork requirements that have been imposed by government.
Well, you know, those
and
things aren't going to change.
Regulations,
those regulations aren't going to change. What, taxes? You're going to see, are they going to go to a 15% flat tax to where all you need is one piece of paper to send in and say, this is it? No, they're not going to do that.
You never know.
They're not going to change all of those little regulations and taxes and you know, other than that, that really is your biggest for small businesses.
No, but there are all sorts of regulations imposed by the EPA and the
businesses. It's all
Food and Drug Administration and whatever. And regulations are stupid and irrational, but a lot of them are.
Some are. I mean, it's very difficult for businesses. I heard how many regulations they have to comply to in New York to open a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's huge. But then look at the number of restaurants in New York, so it can't be that bad. So again, regulation is just thrown about, but yet we're not quite sure, You know, what is the best regulations to eliminate and which are the best ones to keep?
Well, you know, there's stories, whether they're true or false, I don't know, but there are allegations that a lot of regulations are actually imposed at the behest of big business. And the regulations are to inhibit competition. They know that small operators can't comply with all the regulations. And in order to keep them from going into business or sustaining their business or growing their business, big business is saying, Congressman, why don't I give you some money and why don't you pass a regulation that makes these people count? I don't know, measure the size of every egg before they put it in the frying pan. All right, let's calculate the diameter down to the last millimeter or whatever. I've heard the reports for years along those lines. True or false? Don't know. Don't doubt there's some truth to it. You know? So, the whole thing, the problem we have
EPA is one that they could eliminate because the EPA has put on a lot of
restrictions. Eliminate a bunch of them.
Over the years on the regulations, starting way back in the 50s and 60s. You know, the EPA became, you know, involved in shutting down and factories leaving the country because of what the EPA, the regulations that that they created. So
in any case, we are in interesting times, and maybe there will be fewer regulations in the near future. I don't know what they're going to do about the debt. We talk about that every program practically. What are they going to do about the debt? But these are not just, you know, idle questions. These are important questions. I'm not going to get off on the debt particularly right at the moment, but it is perhaps the single biggest problem facing this nation.
We can't pay
the debt and we can't cancel the debt. What are we going to do with the debt?
You can change all the regulations you want. You can change the IRS. You can change the EPA. You can change the Department of Education and so forth. You can change the Defense Department and you make cutbacks. All of those changes will not help long-term our children, the grandchildren, until our monetary policy is corrected.
Yeah. If you want to make intelligent regulations in this country, first thing you do is you find an intelligent and honest system of money, monetary media. And that means gold or silver because the government can't meddle with it. They can't. Either got an ounce of gold, you don't have an ounce of gold. It's not something you can spin out of thin air. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I want to remind the listeners, $1,700, our special for the month of December. We'll adjust it as we see the prices adjust in either directions. Right now, they're still holding at the $1,700. It includes the Type 1 gold dollar, in addition to the largest, a $20 Liberty gold piece, AU condition. And you'll also receive an uncirculated peace dollar along with the modern issue American Silver Eagle along with the special holiday packaging, the Merry Christmas packaging for the Silver Eagle only. So again, $1,700, that includes all your shipping, all your insurance for this really neat little package that we were able to put together. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and of course, all of our programs you can listen to archived right from the website. You can also listen live from the website. Just go to the radio page, and when that little bar there is red, we are live. Just click on, and you will hear myself and Al, me and Al.
An article from Real Money. That's the headline is kind of a crack up. It's publication deals with financial issues and the rest of that. And the headline is the answer to whether you should buy bonds is, are you nuts? Incredible publication, interesting headline. Is it time to buy bonds since we've had such a sell-off in the aftermath of the election? From a long-term perspective, the answer would be a resounding, are you nuts? The 10-year Treasury is yielding 2.37%, hardly a rate where an aggressive buyer of bonds would want to be. 20-year high-grade corporate bonds are yielding right around 4%, while junk bonds are paying a whopping 6%. The author of the article says he wants to get a lot more than that if I'm going to lock my money up in a bond investment. Bonds are cheaper than they were, but we won't see income investors return to the bond market to meet their investing needs anytime soon. Treasury and municipal bonds are too low to generate significant income at current levels. The truth is that rates are going to remain low for some time. And in fact, the incoming Secretary of Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, he said that he thinks rates will stay low for a couple of years. But we're not going to see a significant... Janet Yellen may raise rates another 0.25%. And if she does, what is 0.25%? Is that really enough to make the world turn? It nearly did last December. I don't know what's going to happen if she raises another quarter of a percent, but is it reasonable, is it rational to get the reaction we saw last December? And they raised them in December, and the reaction came in January and February. 0.25%? On a greater and larger scale of things, 0.25% is kind of a triviality. This is not cause, this should not be cause for violent reactions, and yet we have seen that at least last year. So
I think it's more along the lines of you raise it 0.25 today, it's the anticipation of future you know, she's whatever able, it is. She's able to raise them today a quarter point. She didn't last year because we, you know, the year couldn't handle it. But I think that is the anticipation of more rates after that quarter point.
They go on. They say, in fact, the new administration is talking about locking in those low rates for a long time by selling 50 and 100-year bonds to lock in low rates and keep interest expenses down at the federal level. How many of you people want to buy a 50-year bond? How many of you people are going to live another 50 years? I can see that if you can talk teenagers into buying 50-year bonds, well, it might make a little sense. They may be able to cash them in themselves before they turn 75, but 50-year bonds, that's a long time to wait. 100-year bonds? 100-year bonds? What does that mean? It means they would rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. They want you to give them some money, and they aren't going to give it back to you for 100 years. Calculate what the dollar was worth 100 years ago and compare it to what it's worth today. It's worth a couple of pennies compared to what it was worth 100 years ago. Do you want it? Who wants to invest in bonds and for 100 years, wait on them for 100 years before you get a return and bet that we don't have at least as much inflation in the next century as we've had in the past? So the point is, it's just an interesting little article to me. The answer to whether you should buy bonds is, are you nuts? And I think the answer is, they're correct. Are you nuts? Not a place to go. And bonds are traditionally a safe haven for your wealth. But will they be, are they going to continue to be that? Is that a safe haven? Or are you going to look for something else? Look for another alternative?
Well, the interesting part will be if they convert the current bonds.
Well, I don't think they can convert them.
I think they can, but we'll just see how they handle.
Well, they can convert all of them by just saying, sorry, we can't pay.
They are going to.
I mean, in theory, they can say they aren't going to pay, but that would just destroy paper wealth. I mean, they're just caught. They can't pay the debt, and they can't cancel the debt. What are they going to do with the debt? What we've seen here, their proposal of 50 to 100 years, it may be the third option. You can't pay the debt. You can't cancel the debt. How about we extend the debt? Again, you know, we'd rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. We're just going to take your bond that was for 20 years or 30 years or 10 years, and we're going to move it up to 100 years. See, it's still good. It's still a performing bond. It's just that you won't actually get your capital back for a century. Maybe that's the third, you know, maybe that's the third way. Maybe that's the way you get out of this, but all it is an admission that you can't pay the debt. If I borrow $1,000 from someone in the audience, and I come back and I promise I'm going to pay it next week, and I come back at the end of next week and I say, oh, wait, I'm going to need another year or two to pay that. What's that tell you? It tells you I'm broke. You know, the idea that we could extend these debts to unreasonable, you know, time periods, 50 years, 100 years. They did it, we talked about it, maybe either the end of last week or the beginning of this week, I don't recall clearly. But we talked about in Italy, they've got one community that's been, they've added something like 2,000 years to the debt. And their bonds won't be due until the year 4,149. What? That's not just a debt is due. It means that we will never pay the debt. I had a couple other cities that were sitting on similar, that they weren't that far into the future, but they had bonds that would be paid off in 100 years, 200 years, 2,000 years. Pretty impressive. I mean, that's just a way of saying, look, give us money, and we will never give it back. That's all. But that's the kind of solution that some cities and political entities are contemplating right now, because they know they've got a problem that cannot be resolved painlessly. Can't pay the debt, can't cancel the debt. What are you going to do with the debt? So that's where we sit. Here's an interesting thing. It has more evidence of living in interesting times. Here's an article from Reuters. This is another headline that cracks me up. Fake U.S. embassy in Ghana shut down after decade of issuing visas. There was a fake U.S. embassy in Ghana that operated for a decade issuing visas. Authorities in Ghana have busted a fake U.S. embassy in the capital, Accra, run by a criminal network that for a decade issued illegally obtained authentic visas. Until it was shut down this summer, the sham embassy was housed in a rundown pink two-story building with a corrugated iron roof and flew an American flag outside. Inside hung a portrait of President Barack Obama. It was not operated by the United States government, but by figures from both Ghanaian and Turkish organized crime rings and a Ghanaian attorney practicing immigration and criminal law, according to the State Department. Turkish citizens who spoke English and Dutch posed as consular officers, and staffed the operation. Investigations also uncovered a fake Dutch embassy. How many embassies do they have over here? And for a decade, how can you run an embassy for a decade? Can I set up an embassy down here in Texas? Maybe not a United States embassy, but how about a Mexican embassy? Maybe I should hang out a Mexican flag and then I can be a Mexican diplomat. You wouldn't have thought it was possible, but where it gets fascinating is the crime ring issued fraudulently obtained but legitimate U.S. visas and false identification documents, including birth certificates, at a cost of about $6,000 each. The statement that was released by the State Department did not say how the gang obtained authentic visas for 10 years. 10 years! I don't know. Don't we have government doesn't have any concern about security, about who's getting into this country, who's not getting in? Who's getting in legally, illegally, and whatever. And here is some visa, some fake embassy operating in Africa selling visas for $6,000 each that are legitimate. Where did they get them? Huh? This isn't where we sell one visa every year or 18 months or whatever. They had a going business. It means somebody in some embassy someplace is passing out legitimate visas that are falling into the hands of the fake embassy down in Ghana. And maybe there are more fake embassies, and it's just one of those things. You look at it, and the government supposedly knows what it's doing, and clearly it does not. Again, the statement did not say how the gang obtained the authentic visas, and the State Department did not say how many people are believed to have illegally entered the United States using visas supplied by the crime rings, which used bribery to operate unhindered. They bribed Ghanaian officials to stay in business. The fake embassy was open three mornings a week and did not accept walk-in appointments. You couldn't just go knock on the door and say, Joe sent me. Right? You had to make an appointment in advance. Couldn't just walk in. Instead, the criminals advertised on billboards in Ghana, Togo, and the Ivory Coast and brought clients from across West Africa to Accra, where they rented them hotel rooms in nearby hotels. Sounds like a full-service operation, Melody.
Yes.
And it only took our government 10 years to find out about it.
Well, they probably knew about it now, but it probably took an 8 years of investigations in order to write a statement about it.
This is probably something connected with Hillary Clinton and FBI Director Comey probably said, I'm not getting into it. No, don't bring me into this.
What difference does it make, Al?
Yeah, what difference does it make? Exactly.
But no, I mean, and the funny thing about this is only a statement that's being released by the State Department. It doesn't say anything about, you know, what type of investigation, you know, a little more deeper into, you're right, where did they actually come from? How did they get, you know, what was the beginning starting point of the visas here in the States? So
I'll bet those visas were being sold for $2,000 a piece. If they're charging $6,000, they're at least $1,000 a piece. I'll bet you that. And you know, from whoever's in a position where they can supply legitimate visas.
And you can't tell me that if, you know, they finally release this information that they don't know who.
No, I mean, you should be able to trace this back.
Yep.
I mean, FBI should be able to figure out where's this coming from. All right, they should at least know it's coming from an embassy at some location or another. I'm going to assume that's where they're buying these authentic visas from. They were from other U.S. embassies in other parts of the world, one or more, somebody. And someone was in a position to supply these authentic visas for a decade. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was only one person who supplied these authentic visas, but it kind of means that at least it was only one embassy. If it was true that it was essentially one guy at one embassy, I'll bet it wasn't the janitor. The guy had to be there for 10 years to supply these visas. That indicates that he was probably promoted a time or two, and he probably held a fairly high position in the hierarchy. So what are we going to find out about this? I doubt that we'll find out anything. I won't be surprised if we learn nothing more about this, and it pretty much disappears from the news. But it's just another one of those stories. You know, we're from the government, and we're here to help you. Assuming we ever learn how to see, touch, taste, hear, feel, but we'll be helping you a lot once we do.
I saw a headline about Merkel. She's talking about, you know, the world is weaker and more unstable, and she's trying to get, you know, she's going to go for re-election. And I'm thinking, well, Merkel, you were part of the problem that made the world weaker and more unstable. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, stay in there another term and continue your goal of destroying Europe. It's just...
destroying Europe, just wrecking Germany and the rest of that sort of thing. You know, there are people... You have to wonder who are the globalists in the world. It's not you and me. But there is a network of people that are advocating globalism, and they have occupied positions of significant power in countries around the world, and that's what gives them the leverage to stand up and say, we need more globalism, we need a one world government, and come out and work for it in a way that is fairly apparent. You got to imagine that Merkel is one of the globalists. Very difficult to suppose she's not. You can't imagine that Obama's not one of them. All right? How many politicians in Congress and in the Senate are globalists? Huh? And they are almost ready to come up out of their holes and identify themselves by name. Some of them have. It's not a complete secret. And a lot of them you can tell just by their conduct. But I don't know. What are we going to do about it? Well, Trump and the populists are trying to stop him, and it's happening around the world. We'll talk more about it in the future. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. We're back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article from AFE, which is the French equivalent to the Associated Press. The headline is Support for Economic System Under Threat. That's from the governor of the Bank of England. Bank of England Governor Mark Carney on Monday warned the public was losing faith in the current economic system. No kidding. Boy, this is news, Melody. This is something I'd never thought of before. He urged economists to acknowledge those who have lost out from globalization. You've got to acknowledge those who've lost out. Many citizens in advanced economies are facing heightened uncertainty, lamenting a loss of control, and losing trust in the system, Carney said. He underlined the 2008-2009 global financial crisis, the 2008-2009 global financial crisis highlighted the excesses of the financial world. Few in positions of responsibility took their responsibilities seriously. Shareholders, taxpayers, and citizens paid a heavy price. What he's saying is government betrayed the people. They were letting the super rich get away. They had sold out to the oligarchy, the elitists, the globalists, and they're passing laws to favor them. They are allowing them to operate with either less regulation or imposing regulations that put more of a burden on small operators than they do on the big multinational corporations and thereby restrict competition. We have a Congress and a Senate that doesn't read the law. They've admitted they don't read the laws they vote for or to enact. Right? They don't even read them. Which means, what are they doing? They're just brokering laws. Someone comes up there and says, look, here's a law I'd like enacted. And they start to explain it to the congressman. He says, don't bother explaining it to me. Just tell me how much money you got for me to front for this thing. And the congressman essentially brokers the laws. They don't legislate the laws. And they've been doing it on behalf of who? Ordinary people who don't give them any money? No. They do it on behalf of people who already have enough excess wealth where they can bribe congressmen, senators, and even presidents to pass out even more wealth in their direction. And that's a major reason why we have 0.1% who are getting fabulously wealthy while 90% aren't making any progress at all. This article continues. It says, as a result, public support for open market is under threat. This is from the Bank of England governor, Mr. Carney. I'm looking open markets. Where do we have any open markets? I know there's a farmer's market not too far where you can drive down, you can get some watermelons and vegetables in the summertime and the rest of that. I guess that's an open air market. Maybe that's what he's talking about. But the rest of the markets are manipulated. Where do we get open markets? Where do we get a free market? He's saying, oh my gosh, the public support for open markets is under threat. You know, some of this is just... It's as if I were reading from a skit at Saturday Night Live, or the authors, the speech writers for Mr. Carney were, what were their names? Cleese and John Cleese, Graham Chapman from Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail. I mean, some of this stuff is just so ridiculous. It's like, makes him think anybody's going to believe this? The June referendum, which saw Britain vote to leave the European Union, coupled with Donald Trump winning the U.S. presidential race in November, have been attributed in part to a backlash by those on the fringes of society against free markets and immigration. They're not on the fringes of society. They're the middle class, what's left of it. Then the majority of the people in this country that are concerned, they are not against free markets. They are against markets that are rigged, freely rigged. They're against that. And they're not against immigration per se. They are against illegal immigration, which is something Mr. Carney apparently favors. The political and economic status quo was further shaken by Italy on Sunday when voters rejected the government's constitutional reform package and prompted Prime Minister Matteo Renzi to offer his resignation. Discovering UK, the United Kingdom situation, Carney spoke of the first lost decade since the 1860s and the anxiety about the future experienced as a result. This is the first time I've heard of a lost decade in England. I've heard of people talk about a lost decade in Japan. I believe it was the 80s and/or the 90s that were regarded as a lost decade in Japan. They've had a couple of lost decades now. This is the first time I've heard people speak of a lost decade in England, but it says wages are below where they were a decade ago, something that no one alive today has experienced before. In order to renew confidence, Carney said the economists need to acknowledge the current challenges, including uneven gains from trade and technology. What does he mean by uneven gains? He means the top 1% are getting fabulously wealthy and the bottom 90% are getting nothing. He calls that an uneven gain. He doesn't call that the result of an oligarchy that's bribing politicians on a global basis. But he wants to renew confidence, all right? And he has to acknowledge the challenges of these uneven gains. How do you read? Why is confidence so important? Well, confidence goes to our currency, for one thing. All of the fiat currency is supported, ultimately, on public confidence. And the public confidence is ultimately that these debt instruments, that the national debt will be paid. And if confidence in the payment of the debt and government's capacity to pay the debt, if that confidence withers, so will the value of the currency. We will see serious inflation and perhaps hyperinflation. Carney continues, he concludes, he says, we need to move forward more inclusive growth where everyone has a stake in globalization. Why? Why do we have to do that? Why don't we just take a stake? Why don't we all have a stake? I don't want a stake in the whole world. And I don't want the whole world to have a stake in what I'm doing. I am content to have a stake in the state of Texas. I am content to have a stake within the United States of America. I don't care about the rest of the world. They're not my problem. All right? I got nothing against them, but I have nothing for them. I'm not wishing them any harm, but I'm not here to sacrifice myself or my nation in order to support foreign people. When we take globalization, when we accept that and sit back and say, well, let's be global, let's bring everybody in here, we're just asking for trouble.
Well, the problem is, Al, it's globalized and it's going to stay that way. It isn't about free trade or free markets. It's about being fair. I mean, you're not going to be able to pull out all of these markets. Yes, the U.S. can, you know, take over and lead, perhaps. You know, maybe we can regain our position that we've had and have enjoyed for so many years. But the problem that I see with this article is these people basically are running scared. They're replacing the blame. These are the people, just like Merkel is saying about how, you know, all the world is weaker and so forth. They've created this world that they're complaining about didn't help everyone. They've created the world because where the wages are below where they were a decade ago. They are the problem. And now for them to come out and say and try to blame the fringes of society, saying that we're against free markets and immigration, those two things is what created all these problems. I mean, it's just complete. But to me, they can say what they want. We can argue who's to blame and so forth. But the importance of this is where we are, and I think it is that close to a collapse, and something that is so close, something that is going to happen that is going to change everything. And you know, now they're coming out and trying to give these reasons and excuses, what the problems have been. Well, to me, this is a warning. I see it as a warning.
Well, their system is falling apart. They're having a problem.
And I see it as, you know, they don't want to get the blame. They don't want history to view them as, you know, the creators of the problems and so forth. So it's a warning.
Problems. Yeah, I know. These problems are essentially acts of treason. There is no proviso in the Constitution of the United States for people in Congress, in the Senate, in the White House, in the courts to rule in favor of globalization. Right? There's no proviso for congressmen to advocate. We need a one-world government. There's no proviso to get rid of the government we have. And if we go to globalization, one-world government, we have to get rid of our national government. That's treason. And that's why some of these people are anxious about this. They say, oh my God, what's going to happen if this thing blows up in our face and we lose this thing? We're going to all get hung. And they might. They just might. It's the same thing in England. The globalists in England, they are trying to destroy the nation of England in order to create what they believe is something, a worthy objective of one world government. Well, if this thing blows up in their face, there's going to be a lot of limeys hanging from trees. Huh? Same thing in this country. So this is dangerous business, and they thought they had it all wrapped up, and they thought they had this thing locked, and maybe they don't. What's the foundation of this treason? How has it been able to go so far? Because they controlled the money system.
I'm looking at this.
They're able to hand out free.
I'm not looking. I wasn't looking at what he was saying as far as the global relations and one world government and so forth. Yes, the economic system is part of that and part of, you know, it's the big picture. You know, when it tries to be globalized, governmentally. But I'm looking at this as just as far as you know, economics, trade, jobs, standards of living, they have destroyed, they have brought our standard of living down to match the rest of the world's. I mean, you know, we were succeeding and again, you can go back to that pie and so forth. But to me, this is the warning that's saying that, hey, you know, it's done. You know,
it's close. It's close. It's not done.
It's done.
But it's at a point where things could go very badly in a short period of time, or they might be able to weather it and hang up.
It is done, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are they getting you? Because all of the problems, all the fixes are non-existent. The fixes can't fix the problem unless they address our monetary stable money. That's it.
And it's the last thing they'll address.
So the system is done. We're seeing it. I mean, everybody's seen that picture where you had all the global leaders, the European and the U.S. leader, Obama. You know, there's only one left. That was Merkel, and she's trying to hang in there for another term, which I can't even imagine that she would be. But they're
don't
done.
Want to get hanged.
They're done.
Doesn't want to get hanged. They need to maintain control if they want to avoid being indicted.
It's a different topic when we're talking about.
It's all part of the same thing. I mean, the globalists are engaged in treason.
And Davos.
Treason in England, treason in Russia, treason in the United States, treason any place you go.
Yeah, but you also have globalization, it with a multinational. You can say treason, and I agree with you. It is. But on the other hand, this stuff is going to happen.
So what's going to happen? Globalization?
I believe this is the beginning of the end. I believe something terrible is going to happen. I do believe the systems are going to purge. Now it's just a matter of how it all works out in the end. You know, will we have leaders in place to keep globalization governmentally from happening, or has it already happened, Al? I mean, we look at some of our trade agreements, the TPP. A lot of that was based on how multi-corporations could sue, what courts they would use, and so forth. So,
yeah, but the TTP, so far as I know, is probably we got close. We got close. Yeah. But if we were there, how did Trump get elected? Hillary was the globalist candidate. If we were there, how did they have the Brexit vote run against the globalists? This thing isn't a done deal. The globalists are in trouble. They had it running their way, but the tide has turned.
You will be surprised what and how people will react when they see their lives falling apart. And
I agree with that.
You know,
but who is going to be in favor of globalization? Who is going to sit back and say, I don't have a job, but what this country needs, let's bring in another million immigrants. They can compete for the jobs that aren't even there. Who's going to be in favor of
this country? Will be so devastated, people won't even be able to think about immigration. People won't even be able to think. They will
people
be in such
will be
poverty
looking for somebody
when they
to
have
blame.
70% and 80% of their wealth stripped away. Do you think they're going to worry about immigration at that?
They're
point
They're going to want
to
know who to blame, and the politicians,
really?
Rather than take responsibility for what they've done and what they've been doing and what they've done and what they want to do. They're going to say, oh, the immigrants are responsible.
I don't think
they'll point for somebody other than the real guilty people who will be holding offices of power. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen, only for the program. I don't think we're out of time on this country yet, but we'll watch and see. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.